Well, welcome to Trisha's True Crime Radio. Very special edition tonight. Yeah, it's kind of weird doing it on a Monday night. I feel like I'm trying to walk and chew gum at the same time. I don't know if I can do this coordinated thing, but it's all for an amazing event that has happened. It's been quite a week, hasn't it? This past week, I can honestly say that the battle is getting a bit easier, thanks to Web Sleuth members AZ Lawyer and JWG. Now, what battle am I talking about? The battle of trying to convince people that Web Sleuth is not some gossipy sewing circle or a bunch of PI wannabes, or, and this is the one that really gets my nose hairs in a twist, a bunch of bored housewives. No, 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 we're not that way at all. Now, ever since JonBenet's father, John Ramsey, called people like us, in particular me, people like us on the internet, he called us beer can collecting bored housewives, I have literally had to battle that type of image when dealing with law enforcement or people who really don't understand what we do. It's hard. It really is, especially with law enforcement. Now, remember I told you about that federal stalking case I had to go testify at in L.A.? It was last year. Well, that case had to do with forums and postings on the internet and such, and the prosecutor really looked down her nose at me. She absolutely did. It was like the FBI agent prevented me from talking to her. It was like she didn't even want to talk to me unless she absolutely had to. And I could just tell she didn't like what I do or what you do on the internet because she didn't understand it. I think she thought I was going to stand up in court and do something crazy like a Perry Mason moment or something. It's just something we always have to battle. Now let me ask you this. When you tell people about Web Sleuth, unless they know what it is, they think you're just a little bit nuts, right? Again, it's because they don't understand. Many times we are perceived as being strange, invasive, bored, with nothing better to do, living with 80 cats along with dead ones in the freezer type people. You and I both know we're nothing like that. Of course, we're going to have a few strange people on Web Sleuth, but most of the people, most of the active members are truly, absolutely amazing people. And because of AZ Lawyer and JWG, the members of Web Sleuth and myself will not have to fight quite as hard to dispel those stupid stereotypes. Because AZ Lawyer and JWG truly represent the type of people we have on Web Sleuth. So, unless you've been living in a house with no electricity and 80 cats, and the only TV you're involved with is your episode of Extreme Hoarders, then you know that because of the sleuthing of AZ Lawyer and JWG, Casey Anthony is sweating once again and hopefully being driven deeper and deeper underground. We all know the phrase now, it's foolproof smothering. That was the computer phrase that AZ and JWG found on Casey's computer, her password protected account. And here's a big part of the story that the media, I think, is missing. This search found on Casey's computer was found at a time when only Casey was at home. Now, of course, Jose Baez has his little attorney panties in a wad about this, and he's trying to say that George was home and he made the search, blah, blah, blah. But he didn't, because of the timeline that AZ Lawyer and JWG have found. It is an amazing story, and we're going to get into all of that. But first, please welcome back my very first guest on Trisha's True Crime Radio over a year ago. She's back again with us. It's AZ Lawyer. AZ, welcome to our show tonight.
Thank you, Trisha.
And welcome to our first-time guest, an amazing man whose brain, I mean, I'm telling you, this guy is smart. JWG, welcome to Trisha's True Crime Radio.
Welcome.
Hey, and JWG, we're going to start with AZ Lawyer, and then we're going to kind of bring you into this and wrap it all up and tie it up with a pretty bow. So stand by. Let's go to AZ Lawyer first. Okay. I want you to tell us what brought you to Web Sleuth first. How did you come to find us, and why do you stay?
Well, I think at first there were a bunch of documents released in the Casey Anthony case, and I was kind of interested in the case just because it was so insane.
Huh?
And at the time, I believe that the member Music Man had gotten the documents and that they were only available on a members-only portion of the website.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't find them on any other place on the Internet at that time, so I signed up so that I could take a look at those documents. And I had no intention of posting on the website at all, but as I was looking at the documents and looking at people's interpretation of the documents, I kept running across misstatements about the law and the evidence, and so I was just, basically trying to be fair to everybody involved in the case and correcting any misstatements I saw.
And so that led you to Web Sleuth, and now that we've hooked you, you can't leave. It's something you have to do, right? Anyway, AZ Lawyer, let's get right to it. Most of us know the Casey Anthony case inside and out. We're still in shock over the verdict of not guilty of killing her little toddler daughter, Kaylee Anthony. It's stunning. It's absolutely stunning. What started this whole big event that led to your computer search? Tell us when you got the idea and how you took it from there.
Well, I knew probably 2 years ago that Tony Pipitone in Orlando was trying to get the imaged hard drive, and I thought that would be kind of interesting to see her imaged hard drive, but I wasn't, you know, too excited about getting involved in trying to get that information until I heard Jose Baez's theory in July this year, July 2012. His theory that there was a search for foolproof suffocation and that George Anthony had done that search and that there was some kind of evidence that it was George instead of Casey.
Let me stop you right there, AZ.
Yeah.
Let me stop you right there. We're talking with AZ Lawyer, the woman who found the incredible foolproof smothering on Casey Anthony's computer. And so basically the foolproof smothering, the phrase was not new. That wasn't the big discovery, right? That's what we're talking about.
Well,
here.
It was actually, it was foolproof suffocation, and that phrase was new.
Okay.
Nobody had ever heard about that search before.
But didn't he have it in his book? Didn't he have it in his book?
Exactly. That was when it first came out, is when Jose put it in his book.
Okay.
And frankly, I thought it wasn't true. I mean, I didn't think that there was a search for foolproof suffocation on the afternoon of June 16th that somehow didn't get into trial. And if there was a search like that, I didn't think the reason it didn't get into trial was because it was so obvious that it was George that did it.
Right, right.
And so I thought that was very confusing and strange, and I just wanted to see it for myself. And I thought, well, you know, I know Tony Pipitone has tried to get this evidence, and he had a hard time doing it, so I'll try the same request that I know he made. And I tried that request of the prosecutor's office and wasn't able to get the hard drive. And then I narrowed the request and sent it to the sheriff's office, and then I was able to get the internet history information.
Mm-hmm. And that's okay, and so you get that. Okay,
right.
Let me back up a little bit. Tony Pipitone, the reporter who broke the story on WM, I can't remember the call letters, I apologize. Anyway, you said you knew 2 years ago that he was trying to get this information. How did that come about? I'm a little fuzzy there.
Well, there were emails back and forth among different Web Sleuth members, and I got copied on them at some point with Tony, and he had been trying to get the entire image hard drive. And I knew that JWG was willing to look at that if anybody ever did get that hard drive. But as I said, he wasn't able to get it. I wasn't able to get it either. But I did manage to get something that we had not seen before, which was the internet history that included the foolproof suffocation search.
Suffocation. I apologize. I said foolproof smothering. I apologize. I meant to say suffocation. So, okay, you get this. Did it arrive? Was it like a notebook? What form did it come into you?
It was just on a disk.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Say again. You broke up a bit.
I'm sorry. It was just electronic files on a disk.
Okay, so it was on a disk. It wasn't a bunch of papers or anything.
No.
So you actually went looking for this phrase because of what Jose Baez had written in his book, and you just couldn't believe that it was actually there, that foolproof suffocation was actually there. So you go searching for it, and you pop in this disc that you were finally able to get because you narrowed your request down. You went to somebody else who you thought might be able to help you, just a little more sleuthing there. You pop in this disc, and I'm assuming what comes up would look like to me probably a bunch of gibberish. And that's where you turn to JWG, is that correct?
That's correct. I mean, I could find the phrase foolproof suffocation, but I couldn't figure out the timestamps or anything like that from the raw data. And so at that point, turned it all over to JWG to get it in a readable format.
And JWG, first of all, welcome once again to Trisha's True Crime Radio, and thank you for all you do on Web Sleuths. We cherish our male members. We do. We're getting more and more of them, and your work on this was absolutely phenomenal. So you get contacted by AZ Lawyer, and then what happens, JWG? Hello? Did he leave? Is he there? Kimster, are you there? Kimster? AZ, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, I think it's just you and me. let's see. Are you there, JWG? Hello? Okay, he looks like he's live, but apparently he's not. Hello? Uh-oh, I think Honey Boo Boo's on. I think he had to go watch that. I understand that's a secret obsession, is Honey Boo Boo. We'll just have to give it a shot here between us. Okay, so Kimster, can you please try and get JWG back on the phone again? I don't know where he is or why we can't hear him, but we can't. Oh, here he is, right here again. Let's try it again. JWG, are you there? Hello? I think he's got something on his phone. Oh, boy. Okay. Hello? He's not here. JWG, he's got two phone lines calling. Hold on. We'll get him here. JWG, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Now I can. What the heck's going on? I told everybody that you went to watch Honey Boo Boo on the Learning Channel. Well, you didn't? Okay. I was mistaken. I apologize. So
no, it cut out like it sounded like when it cut out on AZ Lawyer earlier, and then it just never came back.
It really did. Okay. Well, that's because our equipment is put together with string and bubble gum. You'll have to forgive us. JWG, I don't know if you heard what I said, but I'll repeat it. AZ Lawyer gets this disc. She pops it in, and there's these timestamps and things that she can't understand. She contacts you, and then you take it over. Tell us what happens.
Right. When I got the files from her, there were two sets of files. There was search history for Firefox, Mozilla Firefox, and there was search histories for Internet Explorer. And the search histories of interest were the ones for Mozilla Firefox. That version of Firefox that was on the Anthony's computer is from Firefox version 2, which is a very old version of it, obviously, from something around 2003, 2004. And it is the history file is encrypted in such a way it uses something called the Mork database, which, from what I have read, is a pretty unusual way to store the data, and is very difficult to decode. And so what I did is I did an initial search on the Internet to see if I could find a program out there that would decode that file so we could read it. And within, 5 or 10 minutes, I did find a program that would decode it, and I tried it on the three Firefox history files that AZ Lawyer had received, and was able to produce results that I could then put into a Microsoft Excel spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I marked those preliminary, and I sent them back to AZ Lawyer. But I continued looking for another program that would decode them, because the first one that I found, I opened it up and read the comments And the author, basically from their comments, sounded like, you know, it was a quick and dirty thing that they had put together and use at your own risk, and they didn't really have a lot of faith in the results that they produced. So
okay.
That caused me to go out and look for a second program. And about an hour later, I did find a second program and ran that. And the author of that program actually used to be a developer at Netscape, which Netscape then became Firefox.
Right.
And his program, his comments in there, you know, were very critical of the Mork database structure, but, you know, he was very confident, it's sounding anyway, in his comments as to his ability to produce a readable history file. So I ran that and produced the results, put them into an Excel spreadsheet, and that one I also posted back to AZ Lawyer, and then I started posting, you know, some of the results on the Web Sleuth website.
Mm-hmm.
About that time, I guess AZ Lawyer had read the preliminary version, and she came back and said, yeah, I see the same thing, but your timestamps are off by an hour, and implying that I had, I guess, a typo in what I was posting on Web Sleuth.
Right.
So I went back and I looked at it and I said, no, I'm seeing the same timestamps
wow.
that I had posted. And that's when we realized that, you know, there was an hour difference between the two different programs and what they
right.
were producing. And so the significance was if the second set of timestamps were correct, then that clearly was Casey and not George. It could not have been George because George would have been at work. If the first set of timestamps were correct, then there would be that question that would be up in the air, and that's what, you know, Jose had put in his book were the earlier timestamps.
And that's what he says is correct. And again, I feel really disappointed in the mainstream media. This is what they're missing. They're making it sound like you two found the comment, but that's not the – I mean, you did, but what the big discovery here, JWG, was – you're discovering this timestamp and the true time that this search took place, which meant George was at work. And it was password protected, correct?
Well, the file itself was not password protected. Let me explain why there were three Mozilla Firefox files.
Okay.
There was the Firefox history file that we know from the past that contained the Google searches for chloroform. And that was recovered from an area of the hard drive called unallocated space, which means that that version of the history file had one point in time been deleted. And
mm-hmm.
so they recovered it from basically the deleted file space. Then there were two other history files. One of those files came from the non-password protected account, and the
mm-hmm.
other one came from the password-protected account. Now, the Orange County Sheriff's Office, in naming these files, didn't differentiate, you know, didn't tell us which one came from the password-protected and which one came from the non-password-protected. But it's pretty easy to infer which came from which. The one that I say came from the non-password-protected account, the history starts in July, I think it's July 14th, and goes through
mm-hmm.
July 16th. The activity in there looks like Lee and Cindy activity, initially with Lee trying to see if he can figure out where Casey is.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the 16th, it's activity that looks like they're trying to build this, you know, my Kaylee is missing MySpace page.
Okay.
The other file, the one that I maintain comes from the password-protected account, shows basically a month of Casey activity. It's
mm-hmm.
MySpace, it's Facebook, it's PhotoBucket, it's all that kind of stuff. It's just nothing but Casey.
And that's password. That was a password protective.
That one would have
correct?
Had to have come from the password protected account, yes.
Okay. So, and please forgive me, because what I know about computers, you know, a drooling toddler could probably tell you more than about a computer than I can. So on the actual search of foolproof suffocation, could you tell that came from the password protected part of the the information?
Again, I can only tell by inference.
Right.
And by that, what I mean is there are some little clues in there. For example, that morning, just before 8 a.m., there is an auto log on onto the AIM instant messaging chat system.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows up in the Firefox history at, I can't remember, it's like 7:53 a.m. And we know from the sheriff's office report that was produced, gosh, it was like September of 2008, that there was chat activity between Casey and somebody with the instant message name of White Playboy that began right at that time and lasted until shortly after 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And we know it's Casey because the person calls her Casey. And the thing that it was clear is that in that sheriff's report, it says that that particular chat log was recovered from the password-protected account.
Okay.
So I'm putting those two pieces of evidence together and saying, well, somebody, the only person that was on the computer was somebody that was in the password-protected account doing
mm-hmm.
AIM chat and shows up in the instant messenger, I'm sorry, in the internet history records.
And so, and that's just it. That's just common sense. You A goes to B goes to C. And I think that's what was missing in the jury deliberations is they wanted a video of A going to B going to C. They just couldn't put it all together as simply as you did. And first, thank you very much, because the way you're describing it, I can actually understand it. And that is amazing. So, AZ, I'm going to get to you in just 1 second, but I want to ask you two more things, JWG. When you realized what you had truly found, what were your thoughts?
Well, I guess my initial thought was that, wow, that's a big piece of evidence to miss or to not bring up at trial. And I was scratching my head as to why the prosecution would never bring that up at trial if it was so clearly obvious that that it had to be Casey doing this. And I mean, they know for a fact where these files came from. I mean,
right.
They don't even have to infer, because they had to pull them off the hard drive and they know whether it came from password protected or not password protected.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting there just kind of dumbfounded that, you know, here's this search at close to 3 in the afternoon for foolproof suffocation. And then, you know, basically there's a phone call with Jesse Grund. And then after that, basically there's silence. There's no computer activity in the Anthony home. There's no cell phone activity. So, you know, there's a big clue that something nefarious potentially
just
was going
on. Absolutely. And it is a big clue. It's as Nancy Gray says, this time is a bombshell. JWG, we have a question from the chat room. First, everybody is saying thank you very, very much. And they're talking about how impressed as I am with your knowledge and your ability and your willingness to step up and do this. You would be surprised at how many people would never get involved in something like this because of what happens to them. And let's talk about this. You gave an interview and it gave your real name. How have things been? Have people been contacting you? Have you felt any pressure? How are you handling it?
No, nobody's been contacting me, which is good. That's the way I'd like it.
Yep. Right.
I haven't felt, any pressure on all that. I will say that when Tony asked me to give, you know, for permission to give my real name, I hesitated because, you know, bad things have happened in the past. But I figured at this particular point in time, it's, I guess I didn't feel like it was inserting in the case or anything like that. I felt it was necessary that, you know, this be investigated by the prosecutor's office, the Orange County Sheriff's Office, and figure out where things broke down so that, you know, that problem doesn't occur in the future. And by that point in time, Tony had told me about his interviews with the prosecutor, with Orange County, and, you know, basically made it clear to me that they were going to fix, obviously, what was a bit of a problem in their evidence gathering and, you know, how they bring some of that evidence, the computer evidence, to trial.
And what do you think happened? Where do you think the breakdown was?
You know, I don't know. I guess if it were me, and I think if it were almost anybody that was on Web Sleuth looking at this, we all wanted to know what was going on that day. And, mm-hmm. you know, there were cell phone records that kind of gave us a clue. There were some pieces of computer evidence that were giving us a clue. You know, there was a very short set of graphs that were released from Encase that seemed to indicate there was heavy computer activity, but we saw no internet history that would kind of line up with that. If I were investigating it, I think I would want to kind of lay out, you know, all of the evidence that I have from the computer, from the cell phone records and whatnot that says, okay, well, what was she doing on this day mm-hmm. that her daughter supposedly disappeared around, what, between the hours of 9 a.m. and 1 p.m., or I forget exactly what her initial police report said. Well, what was going on is she was on the computer or her cell phone
mm-hmm.
during
right.
those hours. And I'm not sure why Orange County just didn't kind of put together a timeline of here's what she was doing on that day.
Yeah.
And kind of go with that.
It seems so simple now, doesn't it? It really does. It's like you think you would just put it on a chalkboard, you know, just something that you could pin up on a bulletin board. Casey's timeline. JWG, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, I mean, the thing that just strikes me is that was a big point of discussion on the board, on Web Sleuths, you know, during the whole 3 years that, you know, between the time that she was arrested and went to trial. And so why during that period of time didn't the police think of, or the prosecution think of doing the same thing that we were discussing over and over and over again?
I wonder if, you know, Group A thought that Group B was doing it and Group B thought that Group A was doing it. And it was just, you know, kind of a just, they thought the other person was getting it done. I think it might have just been a simple breakdown in communication that unfortunately had some incredibly bad results. JWG, we're going to get back to you in just a moment. Now we're going to go with AZ Lawyer. AZ Lawyer, you send this this disc with all of this computer information on it to JWG, not really knowing what to expect. You probably weren't expecting any sort of bombshell, were you? Were you expecting any big, huge break in the case at all?
Well, I was expecting either to find out that there wasn't a foolproof suffocation search at all, which would have been a bombshell given Jose's book,
mm-hmm.
or to find out that there was one, which I thought would be a bombshell because I knew that at least in some respects Jose's conclusion that George had done the search was incorrect. For example, he said it had to have been George because the person was logged into AOL Instant Messaging and only George had an AOL Instant Messaging account. And that didn't make any sense because we'd seen, you know, pages and pages of AOL Instant Messaging messages in the discovery from Casey. And so
mm-hmm.
My assumption was we would either find that there was no such search at all or that there was a search and the evidence would more likely point to Casey being involved.
Exactly. So you send this disc, and JWG calls you or writes you, and you finally find out that there is truly a big, huge piece of evidence, and it's not the search for foolproof suffocation, because that's there, but it's the time that the search was made, and that was completely missed by the prosecution. I asked JWG, I'm going to ask you, what did you go through? What did you think when you realized what you had in your hands?
Well, I was really stunned. Like I said, I actually thought the more likely result would be that we would find that there was no such search and that
with Jose Baez, exactly, with Jose Baez, that would be my thought. Oh, there's not going to be a search. I'm sorry, I don't trust the guy. The guy lies all the time. But even for a defense lawyer, it's kind of appalling. So you're stunned, and continue on, please.
Yeah, so, I mean, I realized somebody obviously had missed that. It didn't seem likely at all that they looked at that search and said to themselves, oh, that must have been George, and so didn't bring it up at trial. You know, I know everybody on Web Sleuth says it was a slam dunk case, but I don't think it was not the kind of case where you just leave evidence behind and don't present it. You know,
exactly.
A substantial case, and they needed every bit of evidence that they could get.
Exactly.
And so I was really surprised, and it took me quite a while. And I'd gone back and forth with the sheriff's office on this evidence and what they were going to send me and that sort of thing. And I finally got up the nerve to ask Sandra, I believe it was Khan at the time of trial,
yes.
Mm-hmm. To ask her why this information wasn't brought up at trial. And her response just confused me. It was that she was not asked to search for the word suffocation, that she searched for certain keywords, and once she found the searches on chloroform, she said that the prosecutor's office didn't want to hear about anything else and didn't ask her to do anything else. So I was very surprised that, I mean, I think just as a matter of curiosity, you would want to look through the details for June 16th, even if you weren't asked.
I know. Well,
frankly,
let me stop you right here, being a little bit computer illiterate myself. So Sandra, one of the investigators, is saying nobody asked me to search for the word suffocation.
Right.
So she doesn't, but that doesn't mean she couldn't find it, because wouldn't you think, I think what you're saying is, you would look at that day and go through it with a fine-tooth comb to see what Casey was doing. Is that what you're saying? Am I understanding correctly?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. You know, why bother doing a word search? Or,
well, yeah.
Or you know, as I told somebody else on the site, you know, I just, when I searched the evidence, I did a search for the word search, which, you know, for most search engines, that's going to pop up in the URL somewhere. And so I did a search for the word search because when people are engaged in potential criminal activity or covering up criminal activity, they search for things online.
Yes.
It's interesting to know what they search for.
Well, exactly. Exactly. And that's just it. It's interesting. Like you said, even if she wasn't asked, wouldn't she want to know every little detail about this case? What do you think happened, AZ Lawyer, in the breakdown of this situation? How do you think this came about, that you and JWG were able to discover this amazing evidence and nobody else found it or brought it to trial?
Well, I think my breakthrough and understanding came with Tony's piece when he showed the email from Linda at the prosecutor's office to Sandra at the sheriff's office, and Linda seemed to be asking for the internet history for June 16th. And I guess what she got back was just the internet history from the Internet Explorer browser,
mm-hmm.
which was the one mainly used by Cindy and George and hardly used at all on that day, June 16th. So it seems that that's where the breakdown was. Somehow the sheriff's office only sent her the history from the one browser.
That's bizarre. Isn't it? I mean, really, I'm sitting here just absolutely stunned. You know, they have computer experts, not as good as JWG, not as good as we have at Web Sleuth, of course, but they have computer experts that know what to look for. I'm still baffled by all of this. AZ Lawyer and JWG, we are getting questions from our chat room. Let me go to them right now. Steely Dan wants to know, can you sue Baez for libel, since Baez said that, can George sue Baez for libel due to him saying that George did those searches while possessing the evidence he couldn't have possibly done them? Well, in other words, what he's saying is, Jose Baez knew that George didn't do it, but yet he's accusing George of doing it. Now, he's accusing George of doing it not in court where he is protected, but outside of court. AZ lawyer, can he be sued by George for saying this?
Well, you know, the laws on defamation are different from state to state, but I certainly am not a Florida lawyer. I would say it's very difficult to prove defamation. First of all, I am not convinced that Jose knew that that these searches were done by Casey. I think it's very possible that he is confused on that point. And secondly, every time somebody brings this up, I say, well, tell me the false sentence that Jose stated about George. And thus far, nobody has been able to tell me a false sentence. He tends to say things like, I was prepared to demonstrate through evidence that these searches were not done by Casey and were done when George was the only person in the house, things like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm quite sure it was true that he was prepared to demonstrate that with evidence. You know, his conclusion
right.
may be incorrect, but he probably was prepared to demonstrate that as best he could.
And so the problem with that is you have to prove, number one, since George Anthony now is considered a public person, you have to prove that Jose Baez knew it was a lie and that he did it purposely to try and destroy him. And that's almost impossible to prove. And like you said, he words it in such a way that he's totally and completely covered. I understand that.
And it's got to be a matter of fact rather than opinion also.
Exactly. And one of the big questions that everybody wants to know, AZ lawyer, did Baez apologize to you for his comments on Facebook? Let's talk about that. What did Baez say about you on Facebook?
Well, apparently, according to the communication I received from his firm, he was not trying to say the comment he made about me. He was actually making a comment about JWG. And although his comment was that the person in question had never been admitted in a court of law, apparently what he meant to say is that JWG had never been admitted to testify as an expert witness in a court of law, which is true, and apparently he is not inclined to clarify that so that anybody can't misinterpret it. So after the last response I received from his law firm, I wrote a response back and said, thank you very much for the stunningly unprofessional response, and I will keep it as a reminder that a law degree cannot confer character or class.
I love you. I do. I want to have your baby if I could. I just that is so great. So in other words, Jose Baez all of a sudden flips around and says, no, I was talking about that guy, the computer guy, JWG, saying he'd never been admitted into a court of law and blah, blah, blah. And so you respond with what you just told us. That is fantastic. JWG, are you still with us, my dear?
Yep.
What do you think about all this? This is just, I mean, it's you almost have to chuckle.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I just kind of shrug my shoulders and I say, well, that may be true, but it doesn't mean I'm wrong.
Well, exactly. Exactly. I mean, that is a fantastic point. You know, just because you haven't been admitted as an expert doesn't mean you're wrong. I bet there's lots of brilliant people that haven't been admitted as an expert. You know, Steve Jobs maybe wasn't admitted as an expert in the computer area in court, but you know what? I bet he knew his stuff. And so that's just a lame, lame argument. And
what I was going to say is, you know, Jose probably makes that comment because, you know, I'm disputing his timeline. The fact of the matter is, I mean, you know, initially AZ and I had gone through, like, cell phone records and lined them up with the two versions of the computer history and determined mm-hmm. that the second version of the computer history, the one that shows the search had to have been done essentially by Casey, not by George, lined up extraordinarily well with the cell phone records. You know, this search for foolproof suffocation and then the subsequent visits to the websites that came up ended right at the time when Jesse Grund called her cell phone. And then the next day on June 17th, the searches for that day, I'm sorry, the history for that day lines up with the time that her cell phone records say that she was at the Anthony home and, you know, had backed into the garage and Brian Berner had seen her that day.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't stop there. I actually, at the end of August, went on to the Cashback website and the Net Analysis website. So those are the two forensic tools that both Jose's computer expert as well as the Orange County Sheriff's Office use. And I went through and downloaded the latest versions of both of those forensic tools.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran these files through those tools. Now, since I didn't have a licensed version, I could not save the results, but I could certainly look at the results on my screen.
Right.
And I determined that both of those tools, the latest versions, match what we were saying the new timeline was.
Mm-hmm.
So what you really have here is Jose's computer guy was using an older version of NetAnalysis that if you go onto the NetAnalysis website, read their blogs, the blog that their developer writes, he says that they rewrote their decoding software of this Firefox database as a result of what happened at the Anthony trial.
Really?
Same thing happened with Cashback. So Jose's computer guy is using an old version of NetAnalysis, and he's got some egg on his face.
Yes.
And so does Jose. I mean, if the two go back and they rerun this on the latest versions, they will find the same results that we're finding.
Mm-hmm. And then they have to admit it, and they don't want to do that. And that, therein lies the problem. Let me ask you, and perhaps both of you can weigh in on this. Ann from Texas wants to know, do you think Lee Anthony wiped the laptop at Tony's? Remember, it wiped out when Lee went there to pick up Casey's things. Let's start with you, AZ Lawyer. What do you think happened?
Well, that's going a long way back, but my recollection is that Tony testified that it was wiped out before Lee showed up.
Mm-hmm. And JWG, do you have any thoughts on that at all?
Yeah, and it wasn't wiped out. Basically, for those of you that use PCs, you've probably heard the term the blue screen of death, which
is,
you know, when the computer basically freezes up and it's got the blue screen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Tony was seeing and that's what Lee was seeing. All the data was still there, and in fact, the sheriff's office recovered the data. And we've seen, you know, the she had at least Safari website search history on there, and I think there was also Internet Explorer, and maybe even Firefox. I don't recall.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that Lee did anything to that laptop. I think that, you know, for some reason there was just some activity, you know, programming activity going on, and it just froze up the computer.
JWG, what do you think happened to Kaylee Anthony? How do you think this went down? And your opinion only, of course.
I personally think that, you know, she was sedated with something like Benadryl and then, you know, had three or four pieces of duct tape wrapped around her face and then she was, you know, stuffed in a garbage bag. I mean, I think that's what happened. I don't know if it happened at the home or if it happened during the, you know, kind of dead cell phone time, and I think it was after 5:30 that afternoon, but I think that's what happened.
AZ Lawyer, weigh in, please. What do you think happened?
Well, I for a long time tried to hold out some hope that it was an accident and a very unwise series of cover-up activities following the accident. I have a hard time with that at this point because of the timeline, including this foolproof suffocation search. It just, to me, if you've just found your baby dead of drowning, for example, foolproof suffocation is not something you would be searching, and the idea that that was a suicide kind of search makes no sense to me when you're checking Facebook and MySpace in the middle of it.
Well, exactly.
And the idea that you would make a search like that maybe the moment before your child happens to suffocate from some other cause seems a very strange coincidence. And what's always gotten to me is just the fact that Casey Anthony was so happy after that.
Mm-hmm.
And that has always bothered me. And so I've come to much the same conclusion that JWG has, but I do... acknowledge, you know, any time that there's new evidence, I'm going to look at it.
Exactly, and it's always wise to keep an open mind. AZ Lawyer, let me ask you this, and I'll go to JWG with the same question. Do you think George and Cindy knew what happened, or do you think Cindy knew and George didn't? And Lee, what is your feeling on the dynamic there? AZ, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I thought you said JWG first.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, no.
My feeling, I don't think any of them were involved. I don't think any of them knew what happened, except in the sense that they knew something was terribly wrong. Once they picked up the car, they knew that there was a smell of death, and they knew they hadn't seen Kaylee for a month, and they, at least subconsciously, I think, knew at that point what had happened.
And I know, and I agree. I think they closed their eyes to it. They didn't put blinders on the sides of their head. They put it in front of their eyeballs. It was just so amazing the amount of denial that family is in. JWG, what are your thoughts on that question?
Yeah, I don't think that, certainly between June 16th and July 16th, I don't think they had any clue. And, you know, I kind of echo what AZ says, is that, you know, at a subconscious level, when they picked up the car, they knew something was wrong. When Casey wouldn't produce the baby, certainly they knew something was wrong. And, you know, when she came up with this bizarre story about Zenaida Gonzalez, you know, I think they actually thought that maybe there had been a kidnapping. And, you know, when this stuff happens kind of real time like that, and your mind is racing and there's probably a great deal of panic going on, you don't necessarily put two and two together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they might have smelled the car. They knew, you know, there had been a garbage bag back there that had been pulled out. You know, I don't know that they put two and two together right away. I think that eventually they did, and kind of led by Cindy, you know, they went into this, you know, vast desert of denial. I'm sure that at this point in time, George probably is not in denial any longer, and, you know, Cindy probably is. I have no idea.
Yeah, well, I think Cindy probably, maybe she has those moments alone at night where she thinks, oh my God, Casey did this, but she will never, ever show that publicly. She will always staunchly defend her daughter, because if she has to admit that her daughter killed her granddaughter, then she has to take a look at herself as a mother to raise such a monster. AZ Lawyer, what's next for you? I know it's been kind of a whirlwind, some of it not very pleasant as when this happened and all of this information came out. Are you going to kind of take a break for a while? Are you going to continue to sleuth and see if you can find anything else? What's in the future for you?
Well, I'm not really aware of anything else that can be looked at in this case, but you know, if I run across anything, of course I would consider it. And despite what some people may think, I've never had a closed mind on this case, and I wasn't surprised when Casey was found innocent of murder. I did think she'd be found guilty of something. But as far as media interviews, I'm not doing any more of those. I'm just absolutely sick of it after one day.
I believe it.
Turned away people from my lobby with cameras today already, and hoping they don't show up at my door. But I'm just done with it.
Well, I understand completely, and what you did was absolutely, truly amazing. And you're not done with Web Sleuth, so you're still going to come on and be a part of our big family, right?
I will. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, we can't let you go. That's just all there is to it. JWG, what about you? What's in store for you next? We're just getting to know you and learn a lot about you. I hope we see you around a lot more. Are you going to dig into a few more cases?
We'll see. I mean, you know, I only really get interested in them if there's, you know, a fair amount of public records released that, you know, allows people to kind of go through and look at real data. So, I mean, that's what attracted me to this case in the first place, is that I'd heard about the case, but then I realized in, like, September of 2008 that, you know, there were the infamous document dumps with lots and lots of real data, and I thought, oh, hey, that might be kind of interesting to look through. So, you know, if there are other cases that are like that, then then yeah, I'll probably pick through them.
Well, good. And you're going to stay on Web Sleuth, right? You can't go either. It's against the rules.
That's
so
right.
You got to stay with us. Stick with us. AZ Lawyer and JWG, on behalf of everyone on Web Sleuth, on behalf of my wonderful business partner, Sue, and co-owner of Web Sleuth, and all of our administrators, moderators, and members and non-members who read, thank you both. You absolutely show us what good people can really do when they put their minds to it. And thank you for doing this on behalf of a little girl you never even knew. I think it's absolutely amazing. And AZ, you go take a nice hot bath, relax, and just unwind. And JWG, you do whatever it is you do to unwind. You do not watch Honey Boo Boo. I want to state that right now. I was just kidding. Thank you both very, very much for coming on and for being a part of Web Sleuth.
You bet.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Kimster, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Wow. That's all I can say is just wow. That was probably one of the best interviews I've heard. You know, I didn't have to do anything. I didn't do anything. They did all the hard work. Incredibly clear and precise, and what a team. I mean, I think they could really do some damage in the criminal world if they put their minds to it. It's
right.
Absolutely,
you know,
amazing.
I went to look at the Nancy Grace's front page of her website. As you know, her show's on right now as we're
mm-hmm.
airing. Thank goodness we all do reruns.
Yes,
so
we rerun all the time.
Nobody's going to miss anything.
Right.
But I did notice on there that she made a comment about how she wished AZ Lawyer had been on the case. And I have to agree. I wish those two had actually been in that courtroom, because not only were they very good about sleuthing out this tension, but they're also really easy to understand.
Yeah.
And I think our jury on Kaylee's case, her jury, unfortunately, was her jury didn't understand, I don't think, some things. And I'm wondering if they're way of describing what was going on would have been easier for them to comprehend.
I think you're absolutely right. They can put it in layman's terms. If they can put it in terms that I can understand when it has to do with computers, that's absolutely, truly amazing. So everybody should be able to understand it. But again, AZ Lawyer and JWG represent the majority of the people at Web Sleuth and what we try and do. Now, granted, they're amazing, and not everybody is a lawyer or is brilliant in computer science like JWG is, but we all have our little specialties, and we've all come together to work on all of these cases. And speaking of working on cases, it's time for the Web Sleuth Hot Cold Case of the Week. Kimster, trumpet, please. Wonderful. That was even better than before. You brought tears to my eyes. Okay, go for it.
Well, Tricia, I wanted to let you know that back in March of 2007, Robert Stephen's sister joined WebSleuth.com because Robert had been missing for 10 days, and she needed our members to help her find him. And those 10 days have now increased to 2,088 days of pain for Kaylee Tu, WebSleuth member. Her still missing. Robert Stephen Brown was born in 1957. He is 5'8" tall, and when he went missing from Fort Worth, Texas, he weighed about 65 pounds. Robert was wearing navy blue Crocs at the time. Hey, Tricia, did you ever have a pair of Crocs?
Oh, heck yeah. They're the best.
Yep. Well, those were really comfortable, and it isn't surprising that Robert liked them because he had a lot of health problems due to his diabetes. Robert was in very poor health that last day that he was seen. He is insulin dependent and almost blind, and he had to have two toes on each foot amputated just before he vanished, and his feet were bandaged from the operation. He also had a large open wound, Tricia, on his right calf. So he didn't just run off easily, you know. He was last seen at his home in the 3,000 block of Las Vegas Trail in Fort Worth on March 9th, 2007, which happens to also be my mother's birthday, his daughter had stayed over the night before, and he told her he was going to go take a bus to a friend's house in the River Oaks neighborhood, but he's never been heard from again. There is a lot of information on this case, Tricia, on Web Sleuths, and some changing information by those he was planning to visit that day, like why would his friends change their story, and why did Robert's apartment catch fire 2 weeks after he went missing? That's, yeah, on Web Sleuths you'll find more clues there. And why would Robert disappear when he needs medical help and he had just started turning his troubled life around? So if you want to try and help Robert's sister, Kaylee, too, and she's still posting on Web Sleuths after all these years. She's an active member. So go there and see if you can answer some questions about this case. And go to www.websleuths.com, and in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a picture of Robert along with a link to his thread. And if you're not a member of Web Sleuths, what do?
Oh, my flipping heck, as we say in Utah, you join. It's absolutely free. And we do not charge anything. We do not keep your personal information. All we need is a viable email address, and it's easy to do. We'd love you to join in, and you can see that it can get pretty exciting sometimes, so join us. Kimster, thank you so much. And there is one thing I want to address, and I didn't want to bring it up with AZ Lawyer personally because she's just sick of it, but people, there are some idiots out there posting on some idiot blogs that AZ Lawyer is being paid by Web Sleuths to, you know, trash Casey and blah. Not true, okay? AZ Lawyer and JWG are upstanding people who have no dog in this hunt. They have no reason to lie. They were looking for the truth. Can you imagine if they would have been able to find out that somehow Casey was innocent? They would have turned that over immediately because they were looking for the truth, not what they thought, not their opinion. They are looking for the truth. So stop with that nonsense. Nobody is paying anybody anything. It doesn't work like that. This conspiracy that you lunatics have going on in your head, that's all it is. It's in your head. Let it bounce around there, but don't let it come out through your fingertips, because I'm sick of seeing that stuff on the internet. Kimster, we'll be back on Sunday at our regular time. Our guests will be, I have no idea, but I'll tell you, it'd be really good. Oh, we forgot the goo, the legal goo. The opinions expressed on Tricia's True Crime Radio are those of the hosts and guests and are not my responsibility whatsoever. Tricia's True Crime Radio is not a part of WebSleuths.com LLC. That is a completely different and separate corporate entity, as is formsforjustice.org. Kimster will be back next week with Tricia's True Crime Radio, where we discuss current events and true crime, and we always do it with common sense. Good night, everyone.